Check, check. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. I suspect we'll have a little bit of a smaller crew this morning, being the fourth and all, but if we couldn't have the rest of them, at least obviously we have the best of them, right? Yeah, totally lame. Get used to it, though. Yeah. If you're out in the foyer, make your way on in if you're going to join us for adult Bible class. Don't forget, well, it's not adult Bible class, it's Bible class today. And we've got the youth with us, thankfully. Be sure to grab a study guide off the chair back by Coach Morley. Come on in and grab a seat. Let me open us up in a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the kindness that you've shown us today in waking us up and allowing us to draw breath and gathering us together today to worship you. Lord, you've been so, so good. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be together for Sunday school and to examine your word and to continue to learn and to grow. Lord, we know that your word was given to us, for us, and ultimately that's for your glory and for our good. And so we pray today, Lord, that you would be doing a work in our hearts as you continue to shape us and mold us and conform us into the image of your Son, as you continue to teach us what it means to live in reference to you and to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Lord, we pray that you would make those things clear to us today, that you would help us to receive that instruction and appropriate it and store it in our hearts and practice it in our lives. We pray that that would be for our good and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? All right. For those who are just coming in to get settled, go ahead and grab a study guide back there. We have been recently in our final section in this curriculum in Proverbs, and we've been considering the wise characters held out to us in Proverbs. And you, if you remember, if you've been with us from the beginning, we've been talking about wisdom, and we've defined that as the skill of living in reference to God, or living in a way that pleases God. We want to know what this covenant relationship with God looks like with boots on the ground. What does obedience to God and living in reference to God look like when the rubber meets the road? And that's where Proverbs is enormously helpful, enormously practical. It shows us in just about every nook and cranny of life what it looks like to live out this covenant relationship with God and to live in reference to Him, which is what it means to be truly wise. And that wisdom, biblical wisdom, begins with a fear of the Lord, that attitude that says, Lord, I trust you and what you say goes. You are my Lord. I'll gladly serve you. You are a good master, and you know what's good for me. And that's the beginning of wisdom. And as we've pressed into the Proverbs, we've been getting more and more specific and more practical. And we've been talking recently about the wise characters. We've talked about the wise worker. We talked last week about the wise friend. Now, we didn't quite finish that lesson. So if you have questions about that, we got a little more than halfway. We need to move on here today, but I want to say if you had unanswered questions or if you'd like to dig into that topic some more, let me know. Would sure be glad to help you and wouldn't want to leave you hanging. Would want to give you instruction on thinking about friendships in reference to God. But we need to move on, and today we're going to turn our attention to the wise son or daughter. This is a great week to have our youth with us, so I'm glad to see you guys. The wise son or daughter, we're going to think about maturing in reference to God, and particularly what that means for relationships between parents and children. And then, Lord willing, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be addressing parents as we look at the wise parent and their responsibility to train or instruct their sons and daughters, as well as discipline or correct them. But of course, as we're going to see today, the expectations of parents to engage with their children can't be separated from how sons and daughters are expected to engage with their parents in these matters. Right? And so this is where we're going to begin this week. Now, let me clarify something that might go without saying, but it may not be obvious to everybody. We're going to look at some texts in Proverbs today that speak of a wise son, and then another that might speak of a father, and then another that might speak of a mother. And what we want to understand is that whenever the text is addressing the son, it's addressing a son, a daughter, a child, one who's in reference to parents. You with me so far? So girls, if you hear something in reference to a son and you say, that doesn't apply to me, I got you right now. You can't do that, okay? You with me? All right. And when you hear mother addressed or father addressed, you're hearing parents addressed. And the Proverbs intend for us to understand both parents and both genders of children and not to be limited to one or the other. Any questions about that? Good? Okay. All right. Well, before we get into our text, let's go through a couple of warm-up questions, kind of get the wheels turning just a little bit. Let's consider two primary responsibilities that parents have in reference to their children. Not the two or the only two, but these are certainly two primary. They might be two of the most frequent that are held out to us in the book of Proverbs, but two primary responsibilities that parents have in reference to their children are to instruct them and to discipline them. Instruct them and discipline them. What's the difference between those two responsibilities? Uh-huh. Instructing them is more positive, teaching them what they should do. Okay? And how does that differ from discipline? Discipline is something that you do when they don't follow your instruction?
Yeah. Instruction comes first. Well, instruction should come first, and then discipline.
Yeah, instruction should come first. Discipline comes when instruction isn't followed. Okay. That there's they differ, but how are they related? Discipline is a tool for instruction. Absolutely. Don't they have the same end in mind? So as a daddy, I want children that are living in reference to God and proactively ought to love them by instructing them on saying, this is what it looks like to live in reference to God and give instruction. And then when one of those turkeys says, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do this my way, then I need to discipline them. I need to correct them, right? But the goal is the same. It's that they might be living in reference to God and walking in a way that pleases the Lord. So how are both discipline and instruction designed for the good of sons and daughters? Why are they both a good thing? Yeah, this is something that's often overlooked, and we'll probably have an opportunity to talk about this a little bit more, but man, how many people who have some years behind them would say, I wish I could turn back the clock and take my parents more seriously, right? I wish I would have listened to this or to that. I wish I would have thought more carefully about this and not disregarded that instruction. Okay, it would have been a good thing. It would have resulted in blessing to do that. Absolutely. Yeah, those years, nobody has perfect parents. Nobody has perfect mentors or influences in their lives. But those years behind them are a gift to you, younger people. They are a gift to you, and there's wisdom in that instruction that God intends for you to enjoy. And again, coming back to, they have the same purpose. So instruction and discipline are both intended to help somebody live in reference to God, to walk in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. That's a good outcome. That's the best outcome for anybody, right? Questions on that so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point. So having the responsibility to instruct and to discipline serves as a means of grace to parents to help them. But also we could add to that, you never really graduate from this, right? Okay, so there's a difference between a youth who's under the authority of mom and dad in a covenant relationship with the family and an adult who's left the home. There's a marked difference. But in terms of needing to be wise and hear instruction and put instruction into practice, we never graduate from this. Okay? The way that consequences are administered are different. So when you're 40, nobody's going to bend you over their knee and give you a whooping. But you will inherit consequences for those choices. And either that instruction and discipline has been heeded and has taken effect, or you've disregarded it and you're harvesting the consequences here down the road in a more serious way. So, great point. Tessa, thank you for pointing that out. Now, if the Lord expects parents to instruct and discipline their children, what does He expect of sons and daughters? What's that? To obey, right? Yes? Yeah. Yes, this is good. So both of these would be what we want to touch on. So number one, you, if the Lord has commanded your parents to instruct you and to discipline you, then certainly by implication, you are commanded to listen and obey and receive that, right? But for parents, this is, if you have kids, you probably don't need an explanation here. But they don't show up okay. Right? I mean, I love all of mine very much, but none of them showed up in good shape. They all showed up depraved. They all showed up in need of the gospel. They've all showed up in need of instruction and discipline in order that they might learn to live in reference to God, in order that they might learn to cry out for a Savior. We're going to get too far ahead because next couple weeks are intended to address parents. So we'll let that be a teaser for what's ahead. We ought to be thinking about question number three in our warm-up, a command that sits underneath this and provides the foundation for this relationship. And I'm thinking the Ten Commandments. So when there's an expectation for children to listen to their parents' instruction, to heed their discipline, what command is that coming from? Honor your father and your mother, right? Five. Yep, that's okay. That's all right, yeah. No problem. Honor your father and your mother, right? So again, Proverbs is showing us what this covenant relationship with God looks like lived out. We have a commandment, honor your father and your mother. That shows up daily with instruction and with discipline. So question four, and please, youth, don't be afraid to throw a hand up and answer a question here. If God commands sons and daughters to honor their father and their mother, who are they obeying when they receive instruction and receive discipline from their parents? B. God, right? So I don't know if you've noticed this, but much of your life is obedience to God by proxy. Obedience to God through submission to a husband who doesn't deserve it. Obedience to God through submission to elders who don't have all their stuff together. Submission to God through obeying your parents who are imperfect but are giving you instruction and disciplining you. You're actually obeying God when you obey your parents' instruction. Does that make sense? Okay, so then what follows that ought to be obvious. Who are you rejecting when you don't receive discipline and instruction from your parents? Yes, ma'am. God, right? So this we've elevated the seriousness of this. If mom and dad say, do this, don't do that. If mom and dad give you instruction, or mom and dad bring a correction, and you look down on that or say, I don't need that, or you reject that, actually you're raising a hand high to God. Do you see that, guys? Does that make sense? Give me some head nods back there if you got me. All right, you got me. Good. Okay. All right, let's jump ahead to Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to look at a couple of texts, Proverbs 13:1, and then back to Proverbs 12:1. We'll read these two texts and then answer a few questions. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to a rebuke. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Okay. According to Proverbs 13:1, what does a wise son or daughter do? Yes? Accepts discipline. A wise son or daughter accepts discipline. So how do you accept your parents' discipline? All about attitude? Yeah. So you're saying there's a way to go through the motions but not accept discipline? So if mom and dad were to give you instruction on a specific task to do, take your laundry upstairs, and you drop half of it on the way up and stomp your feet and slam the door, you haven't obeyed mom and dad, right? Okay. What else does it mean to accept your parents' discipline? Audrey. To listen to it. Yes, ma'am. Very good. So, and by listen to it, I assume that what you mean is more than just hear it, but I want to know what you said, and I want to know how to obey, and I'm listening with intentions to follow through with what you're asking. Is that what you mean? You nailed it, girl. Good job. Yeah. So, if you're going to accept your parents' discipline, you're going to be humble. You're going to agree. Right? So, there's a tendency to not want to agree when we're being corrected, when we're being instructed, when we're being pushed to do something we'd rather not do, right? But if we're going to accept that, we're going to stop and say, okay, this is good, and I'm going to agree, and I'm going to redirect, or I'm going to accept this and do what mom and dad are saying with the right attitude in the right way. Does that make sense? Okay. Again, Tessa's remarks earlier are helpful for us. This is a lot of this is addressing youth, but for all of us in the way that we receive instruction from the Lord or we receive instruction from somebody else in the Lord, we want to be thinking the same way. But let's ask the next question. Why is it often hard for us to receive discipline or correction? Pride? What do we mean by pride? Yeah. Me too. That's weird. Yeah. Janelle. Right? Yeah, we tend to self-justify. So I had this had a good outcome, but with one of our boys, had a conversation earlier this week, had a bad decision that was made, and the consequence was pretty stiff, and young man was having a hard time seeing how this was just. And so really wasn't trying to be disrespectful in it, but could honestly just say, Dad, I don't think the punishment fits the crime here. This seems like too much. This seems like I don't want to go without that. I don't want to lose that. I think of Hebrews 12:11-13, no discipline seems pleasant in the moment, right? Not if it's actually effective discipline. So if it does seem pleasant, And if you're thinking no big deal, mom and dad, you probably need to reevaluate if it's intended to be discipline, right? If it doesn't sting, if it isn't costly, if it isn't unpleasant, then it isn't doing the job in terms of discipline, that correction that's needed, okay? We're going to get to address this more over the next couple of weeks from the perspective of parents as we think about what that looks like. And Proverbs is really, really clear that if you spare that kind of discipline, you are actually hating the child, right? We might be tempted to withhold that because we recognize that it seems unpleasant. I have never, ever wanted to spank one of my kiddos. I take that back. I should have never wanted to. But if you ever do want to, you're disqualified, right? If you want to, don't. And it should always be something that is done through tears and regret, because you know that this is going to cost, this is going to sting, it's going to be unpleasant. The very reason why the child's not going to want to do it is the reason why you're not going to want to do it. Okay? So it's hard for us to receive or accept it because it's not pleasant. So we're still thinking about Proverbs 13:1. A scoffer doesn't listen to a rebuke. What does it mean to be a scoffer? A mocker, someone who thinks he's right. Robert?
Same as somebody who...
It can be, yeah. So you have somebody who's puffed up, who's arrogant, who I think I know better. I don't think I need that. The scoffer or the mocker is one who puts themselves above that discipline, that correction. So according to 13:1, what does the scoffer do? Doesn't listen to rebuke. Doesn't listen to correction. Audrey helped us earlier by saying, by pointing out the wise one is one who's going to listen, and that listening is accepting. So if we understand this, the other side of this, the mocker who is not listening is the one who's not accepting. They might be hearing, but they're the one who maybe it goes in one ear and out the other. Or they're not listening to try to understand. They're not listening with a desire to obey. So we've already answered the next part of that question. What would it look like to listen to a rebuke instead of being a scoffer? So let's go back to Proverbs 12:1. What does it mean to love discipline? Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. What does it mean to love discipline? Brinley? This is good. This is helpful. So you accept it. You know and appreciate what it means. You don't have the attitude that it's unjust or unfair, right? I think that's helpful. Zach? Yeah. This, I really appreciate your example. You're underscoring that to love discipline would be to seek it out, see it as a good thing. And you're showing that at 27, you haven't graduated from that. That's something that you continue to do even as an adult. Peg, did your hand go up? Right. And this is actually preparation for a lifestyle of living in reference to God. So you're obeying God by proxy. And when you're out of the home, this season of, I don't know why, but I need to obey, isn't necessarily, you're not beyond that, right? There's a lot that you do understand, but there's a lot of times when we won't know what God is up to. And we'll need to trust Him and obey when we don't understand His mind. This is good. So to love discipline means you're going to be friendly to it in the sense that you welcome it. You know that you need it, even though it's unpleasant. You know that you need it, even though it's unpleasant. You know it's good for you, so you embrace it. So think of somebody who does any kind of physical training, right? If a weightlifter wants to build muscle, they've got to lift weights, and that's going to hurt if they do a good job. And they know that at that point they're growing, right? So, of course, that analogy falls short, but this is the way that we want to think about the loving discipline of God our Father, and when we're in the home, by proxy, through our parents. God is doing that through our parents. So, why does loving discipline result in loving knowledge or wisdom? According to Proverbs 12:1, it says, "He who loves discipline loves knowledge." Why are those two things related? Yes. Right. Discipline is an opportunity to learn. If I'm in need of discipline, then I'm in need of correction. I needed to be reoriented. I actually wasn't walking in wisdom. I wasn't walking in knowledge. That discipline is a gift to help redirect me. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. So the idea of punishment, I'm going to try to save some for the next couple of weeks. So I'm tempted to run on ahead. But this idea, this word's probably best translated reproof. That's why some translations would say discipline and some would say instruction. It's a firm kind of instruction. Stop that. Redirect is the idea here. Eli?
Yeah. Maybe looking at
Yeah. Yeah, nailed it, man. So we started with the end game here. The reason the Proverbs is given to us is it's not 31 chapters to your best life now. It's not a man-centered prosperity method. This is text after text after text that says this is what it looks like to find your delight in the Lord and to obey Him and give Him the glory and honor that He's due. And so when you're disciplined and corrected, that's putting you back on the track of delighting in Him and obeying Him and giving Him the glory and honor that's due. And this is the greatest good that you can do for anybody. This is knowledge. This is wisdom. So question number 9, how does Proverbs 12:1 describe the one who hates reproof? He who hates reproof is stupid. This time you can say stupid in church, okay? Yeah, yeah. So this word's actually a tough one to translate. This is important for us to think about. Listen to me here. This word that's translated stupid, probably more literally translated consumed. It would be frequently translated burned up. Burned up or grazed bare. So this is what would happen to a vineyard if locusts came through, right? This is what would happen after a fire goes through. This is speaking to not just a mental, you're not being smart, which is often how we understand that, right? This is a moral indictment. And by moral indictment, I mean you are morally doing wrong. And the word speaks to the self-destructive nature of hating reproof, hating correction. Okay? It's burned up, grazed bare. This is what takes place when we look down on correction, when we despise correction, when we say, I don't need that. I'm above that. That's not right. That's not good for me. When we have that attitude, when we become the mocker, we become stupid in the sense that we enter into a path of a self-destructive being burned up, being consumed up with that mentality. Does that make sense? Okay, Whitney. Right. Right. Yeah. Helpful. Thank you, Zachary. Which, tying these things together, that is what is so base and animal-like and brutish, and that is what is self-destructive and leads down that path. So now keeping that in mind, let's jump ahead to Proverbs 13:18. We're still thinking about the condition of this one who looks down on reproof. Proverbs 13, verse 18 says that poverty and disgrace or shame come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. So what happens to the one who ignores instruction? And practically speaking, what does that look like? Zach? He's going to be faced with discipline. Yeah. Yeah. This is good. So the text says the one who ignores instruction will end up in poverty and disgrace. Zach is saying the text is teaching us discipline will follow. The Lord's discipline will follow rebellion. Okay. What does that look like? What kind of poverty and what kind of disgrace might we experience if we ignore instruction? Pharaoh's a pretty extreme example of the Lord will have his way, right? What else? Yes. Yeah. This is really, really good, Kaylin. So please follow what she's saying. The discipline of a parent, the discipline of a friend, the discipline of a loving church member that comes alongside and says, hey, we need to course correct here, and says a hard thing or steps into a difficult situation with you, is a means of grace whereby God is loving and protecting and helping to prevent a bigger disaster down the road. And if we raise a hand to that discipline. So youth, if you reject the discipline of your parents, it's not as though you'll be without discipline in your life. It's going to be much more serious, much more painful, much more difficult. And these are conversations that I'll have with my little ones whenever we're having a discipline opportunity. And so Sammy, 5 years old, he still gets spankings. And so he made a decision. He rebelled against mom and dad and pulled him aside. Okay, what's going to happen here, big guy? I'm going to get a spanking, Dad. Why are you going to get a spanking? Because I was going down the wrong path. That's right, buddy. And what's going to happen if you keep going down that wrong path? Painful consequences. That's right, big guy. And this is a loving reminder that you had better get off that path right now and listen to mom and dad, right? Right, Dad. And then we follow through with discipline. So it is a loving act of mercy and grace when, and so this is true when you're 10, 11, 12, 16, 17, and you lose the keys to the car, or mom and dad say no to that relationship, or whatever that is, where however that discipline comes in, this is God's love and His grace and His mercy chastening you in order to be on the path of living in reference to Him. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Excellent question. So this, for those who have been through membership class, this will ring a bell when we think about this question. Now, when you're talking about youth who are under the covenant of the family, under the authority of mom and dad, then mom and dad have this primary responsibility to carry out the discipline with them while they're under their roof and under their authority. And they have a window of opportunity to be faithful there. Now, there's no guaranteed results, right? But they have a window of opportunity to be faithful here. Now, when you have an adult professing Christian, ought to be a member of a church, the Lord has provided a means, and that's what we call church discipline, which is the loving act of restoration to come alongside somebody who's in rebellion and come and say, nope, you're headed down the wrong path. And by God's grace, people are won over. But if they're not won over, if they don't listen, then we bring others along. And if they don't listen, then we tell it to the church and we turn the volume up on that discipline as a loving appeal to say, please turn from that sin and turn back to the Lord. And then Paul gives instruction in 1 Corinthians 5 regarding the man who had his father's wife. And he said, hand him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. This man needs discipline in order to be brought to repentance. And so he had rejected the discipline previously, and now that discipline is much more serious. That's actually a neat case study because it appears that that man comes to repentance. And it was sufficient for him, and he comes back into the fellowship. But the Lord uses that discipline to chasten him. So, good question. But parents, let's think about this. And kids, let's think about this. Your parents have been charged with the responsibility to save you lots of trouble down the road. Now, again, no guaranteed results, but by God's grace, they're praying that their faithful instruction and that their faithful discipline will prevent you from walking into God's discipline down the road in your life. And for you to be living in reference to God now without the painful discipline that would be necessary if you go down a path of rebellion. But if you go down a path of rebellion, you're going to be disciplined. It won't be the gentle, loving discipline of a parent. It'll be much more severe. It'll be much more serious, and the stakes will be much higher. Do you understand that? So see that as a gift now. See that as a good thing. Okay, so the other thing that Caitlin said that I think is super important, when we think about poverty, obviously it could be material poverty. If somebody says, hey, save your nickels or you won't have any money, and you say, meh, then, and you don't save any nickels, then you won't have any money. So that's a fact. But we're talking about much more than just financial poverty. We're talking about being in lack or being in want. And that could be physical. That could be spiritual. You reject discipline. You reject instruction now. Then you are going to have an empty purse down the road here when you need to help somebody else, when you need to engage in this issue in life, whatever that may be. You are not equipped. You are not living in reference to God then. So don't reject that discipline. Don't reject that instruction now. Heed that so that you're where you need to be down the road. Questions on that? Okay. All right. So Proverbs 13:18 also says that he who regards reproof will be honored. This is answering question 12. What awaits the one who heeds reproof is honor. Now I want to jump to Proverbs 15 and look at verse 32. Proverbs 15, verse 32. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. According to Proverbs 15, 32, who suffers when you ignore instruction? You do, right? Back row with me? Got nods? All right. Good job, guys. Yep. You suffer when you ignore instruction. So let's think about, can somebody turn to Deuteronomy 5:16 and tell me how are these verses related to the commandment and the promise of Deuteronomy 5:16? Somebody there can read it for us.
Honor your father and your mother, and the Lord your God is commanding you that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you.
Okay. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged, that it may go well with you. What's the relationship between that and all of this instruction that we're seeing so far in Proverbs? There's blessing that follows obedience, and there's a curse that follows disobedience, right? So repeatedly, most of these proverbs are set up with an antithetical parallelism that says here's the blessing that goes with obedience, here's the curse that goes with disobedience. Here's the flourishing that goes with being on the path of life. Here's the destruction that goes with rejecting wisdom and being on the path of death, okay? And so when you are heeding instruction, heeding discipline, you are positioning yourself to experience the blessings of God. And when you look down on instruction, look down on discipline, you are positioning yourself to incur more consequences as a loving response to that position. Peg, did your hand go up? Right? Yeah. Now this just makes sense. If from the beginning this was a matter of obedience to God by proxy, then your problem is not really with you and your parents, it's really with you and God. And that's likely to show up elsewhere in the other authorities that he places in your life. Wherever it's not a matter of convenience, if I have a problem with God's authority, I'll have a problem with parental authority and with civil authority and in a number of areas. Good point. Good point. So when we think about the promise of blessing and we think about the promise of a curse that follows disobedience, how do these texts show God's wisdom and love for you in the command to honor your parents? Does it ever feel like it's just a terrible buzzkill to have to obey your parents? Right? Mom and dad ever, back row again, mom and dad ever tell you guys to do something that's just not cool? I don't want to do this. This doesn't seem right. Or put parameters around. Now, this is more and more true as you're getting older. So those who are in the teen years and on this place where, man, it feels like I've got a foot on the boat and a foot on the bank and I'm stepping into adulthood and yet I'm under the authority of my parents in this household. And there's this tension of I want to run and parental authority says, no, your circle's a little tighter than you want it to be. You're restricted here. And if there hasn't been, there will be this sense of, I'm not sure that's right, mom and dad. I don't think I should have to have a curfew. And I don't see why I can't do this or do that, right? There will be times that it doesn't seem right, that it doesn't seem wise, that it doesn't seem like it's what you would do. But you have to be resolved to say, I remember this truth, and I'll hang my hat on this truth, that God has commanded me to honor my father and my mother, that it may go well with me. God is good. God knows best. He loves me, and I can trust him, even when this doesn't make total sense to me. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. Questions about that? Jeremy. Yes, thank you, Jeremy, for bringing that around. So we don't want to fall into a way of thinking that suggests that there's all this stuff that you would just love to do, and God's keeping you from that, and your parents are keeping you from that. But God knows exactly what life ought to look like for you to flourish, and He's given you parents to help you learn how to do that and to learn how to live in reference to Him. So that there's a flourishing, so that He's honored. And by God's grace, we learn to delight in the Lord and enjoy obedience to Him. And those consequences just serve as a loving reminder that that's not what's good. This isn't what's best, right? Are we on the same page? Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, let's look at one last text real quick and then think about some questions. So Proverbs 15:20. Says, a wise son makes glad a father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Okay. A wise son or a wise daughter is going to bring gladness to their parents, and a foolish son or daughter is really despising them. So question 15, these are just some reflection questions. Now, obviously, again, these are pointed to youth, but we want to make sure we put ourselves in this seat and think about how they apply to everybody. That consider how you've been relating to your parents in the area of discipline and instruction. Are you obeying and honoring the Lord in the way that you obey and honor them? Are you obeying the Lord and honoring the Lord in the way that you're responding to your parents' instruction and discipline? Are you making their duty to train you up and discipline you a joy or a grief? You see what the text says? A wise son makes glad a father. Foolish man despises his mother. Guys, I don't care how young you are in this room, you are not waiting to start a life of worshiping and glorifying the Lord and making a positive impact in the advance of God's kingdom. You are not waiting for someday when that's going to start. You are doing that now. That opportunity is before you right now. And one of the primary ways that you do that right now is by making your parents' duty to train you up a joy and a blessing to them. Does that make sense? You don't have to wait. So now, if you've been sinning in this area, I want to ask you to confess this to your parents and ask for forgiveness. Okay? If you've been sinning, confess and ask for forgiveness and thank your parents for the ways that they're faithful in instructing and disciplining you according to God's design. Any questions? Okay, let me pray and then we'll wrap up. Father, we thank you that you discipline the sons that you love and that your loving hand of discipline in our lives is evidence of your love and your care for us. You do that in order to help us to live in reference to you, to stay off a path that leads to death and destruction. And Lord, because you want what's best for us, your commands to be obedient to you are directly connected to your design for us to be fulfilled and joyful and satisfied in you. Thank you for your wisdom and your love in that. Thank you, God, for your design for the family that you have given moms and dads to invest in and love on and train up and discipline young people as part of your good design so that they might learn to live in reference to you. And I pray that we would be a church that increasingly sees and takes those opportunities, that feels the weight of that responsibility, both as parents and as children. And Lord, that we would be worshiping you in the way that we engage in the family. And I pray specifically for the young people in this room, Lord, that they would be wise, that they would love correction and instruction, that they would put it on like a necklace, that they would adorn it, that they would be proud of it and say, what I want to wear, what I want to show off, what I want to put on is the instruction, the wise, godly instruction of my parents. Lord, you are good and you are faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.